to Dad.
Welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 59.
Welcome.
I am here with the girls and Mom.
Hi.
So hi, Phoebe. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi.
And hi, Mom.
Hey.
So this is the first
podcast we're doing
after getting back from our vacation, our big car trip. It was a pretty quick car trip this year. It was only a week long, but we're back. We're back to normal, back to work, back to everything. How are things going?
Good.
Yeah, doing all right.
Had fun in Utah.
Mm-hmm. I had fun in Utah and Colorado. Yeah, that's where we went. So
I miss Colorado. It's like 105 degrees outside here.
I know. It was
It was like in the 80s. It was like 85, 86. It was nice in Colorado.
We went on a college tour at one point and had the college, the person leading it be like, "I'm so sorry for this super hot weather."
Well, she
was like
from
a nice 80 degrees.
She was from Mexico, too.
I know.
She was from Mexico
But it was
City.
Hot. It was not hot. It was a nice warm weather.
Yeah. It was great.
So Phoebe went on a couple of college tours.
I did.
Any impressions from your college tours?
They were fun. I wanted to go to one a lot more than the other. But I feel like going on all the college tours summer before senior year, you're like, yes, I get to go to college. I get to not go to high school. And then you're like, oh, yeah, I have another year of high school to go. You get all excited, and then you're like, still got senior year. So I can already feel that senioritis creeping in. But should be a pretty good year.
Excited to get away from us.
Yep.
Go live on your own.
Far away.
Do the college thing.
Yep.
Don't Elizabeth, look at me when you say that. I live like half an hour away.
She's
half
still
an hour
here.
Is not, no. Yeah. You shouldn't. If it only takes you a half an hour, you're not driving well. You're driving scary.
Well, I mean,
it's
sure.
It's like 45 minutes to an hour, depending on traffic.
So a couple of other things.
My goal is to get farther away than that.
A couple of other things we need to update people on. We have some Maisie news.
We do.
It's amazing.
I know. So I, being the expert dog trainer I am, I actually just taught her this week to shake hands.
And it kind of works.
No, it does work.
It works like 75% of the time.
Well, she just learned. She figured it out yesterday.
Yeah. It works pretty well.
Sometimes she tries to lick your hand first, but she will shake.
It's because she thinks you might have a treat.
Yesterday, I went up to her and I said, shake. And she put her paw right in my hand, like first thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
She also kind of put her head and her mouth in my hand too, though.
Yeah. So. She put like 75% of her body in your hand.
She's trying to do a little like she's trying to grab your hand and kiss it, like m'lady.
Yeah,
that's what she does.
Oh no,
kissing my hand.
Oh no, who let her on Reddit?
No,
get her a fedora.
No.
Talk to her about men's rights.
Please. No. No. This is a family podcast.
Anyway. No, she's just being polite. Not everyone who kisses hands is impolite.
That's true.
No, just a little bit creepy, maybe.
Creepy.
We're going to get her instead like a Shakespearean type neck ruff.
Oh, that would be adorable.
Well, that'd be really cute.
Can
we do that
like
for Christmas?
Buckle
or not
hats.
Christmas. Halloween.
Halloween? Dress her up
a
like
a neck ruff?
What's a neck ruff?
A neck ruff,
you know, like a Shakespearean, like the
like the big thing that kind of looks
it's like a tutu around your neck.
Yeah,
looks like a
thick
fan
pleated
around your neck.
Yeah,
yes.
Anyway, she likes to. She's very good at. She'll do a high five too if you kind of put your hand up like that.
Oh, you've taught her high five?
No, she'll just do it. She'll just touch your hand.
Okay.
So she is a good girl.
I wonder how you teach a dog to like roll over and play dead.
I know. I'm thinking. There are like tutorials on it.
You push them and you make them roll over, and then you give them a treat.
I think some of them probably say that you just wait for them to kind of roll over on their own.
But when's that going to happen, though? You just wait like all day long, still hasn't rolled over.
Yeah. Well, that's what people do for like bark. That's why we could never teach Maisie speak, is because she never barks, like ever.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, she'll try to. She's not even good at it.
She barks sometimes. She barks more than Sir did.
Yeah, but I feel like
she's not good at it, though. She'll do like a little like,
Sometimes she barks loud.
She's coming to say hi. She knows we're talking about her.
So we tried to bring over another dog to try to socialize her because she does not like other dogs. And she was trying to bark at them the whole time. But after a couple barks, she'll get like, her voice will get tired, I guess. And she'll do just kind of like a, like she'll just angry, like just screaming.
Angry protests.
Like little like whining type.
She was so stressed out though.
Oh, she was, like, yeah, actually, she doesn't shed and she... Except when she's stressed, and she shedded all over me because she was just super stressed out by this super, super mellow dog.
Yeah, the other dog was just sitting there in your friend's lap. Yeah, just like kind of looking at her calmly. Yeah, like
she was happy to be there. She wanted to go play, but her owners were like, maybe we should just keep you on our lap because she's trying to attack you.
Yeah. Anyway.
She was, so she stayed with one of Elizabeth's friends while we were out of town.
Yeah.
And how'd she do there? Did you get any more reports? We got sort of. A couple of reports were gone, like Elizabeth's friend Carolyn would send Elizabeth a text or something, but did you hear the scoop about like the whole thing?
I kind of did. I get the impression that Carolyn says she was good and she was, you know, great, but I kind of got the impression that she was kind of a brat while she was over there, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Like what? What like, was she doing?
Like Carolyn would text me like, hey, is it normal for your dog to like run around like a bunch so that because I keep tripping over her and she kind of won't leave me alone or like
well I think she was stressed out and also she didn't take her crate so I think she kept eating stuff.
No, she did take her crate.
Oh, okay.
She does. I mean, she does run around a lot. She is energetic.
Yeah, or like I would be on the phone with her and she'll be like, oh, hold on, Maisie just puked on my couch. Oh,
I think she was sick a little bit while she was there too.
Yeah, I think she got into something that she shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But which or like, is not unusual
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, Maisie woke me up by licking my face, and I was like, well, didn't you put it in her crate? She's like, well, like I usually do, but like I left her home a lot yesterday, so I felt bad putting it in her crate. So she just slept in my bed last night, and I was like, you're gonna spoil our dog.
I let Maisie sleep in my bed sometimes. Sometimes if I have her up, sometimes I'll have her when my room's like really clean and nice. I'll have her up in my room while I'm like just watching TV on my laptop or whatever in bed. And then sometimes if I'm like stressed out at night, or I'm feeling like kind of anxious, I'll keep her in my bed at night with me. But my bed's kind of small, so it's kind of hard to.
Yeah, she's kind of a space hog too.
She kind of really
yeah,
is. Yeah,
I have to move her over, but she's pretty good usually. It's just a small, it's like I have a little twin like day bed type thing.
Yeah.
But when I'm feeling anxious, I like to just sleep with Maisie.
Yeah. Oh, and Carolyn got her a new squeak toy because she chewed through one of the plastic squeak toys that we got her, and now she only has the hot dog, which is looking pretty ragged. We Phoebe got her a giraffe, a squeaky giraffe.
I actually got it for her. I actually bought it.
She has a little giraffe. Yeah. I got her, the first thing I got her was a little hot dog, and it's like little super cute.
She loves it.
She's just carrying around a hot dog.
Well, and it's less disturbing. She did.
She tore it up.
To see her completely destroy a hot dog.
They're supposed to be like realistic looking animals. They like have a thing like realistic looking print. And I'm like, I don't want to give her that. It's kind of
looks like a dead bird that she's.
I understand that she's like, you know, a wild animal that likes to like go after.
You understand that she wants to be a wild animal.
She wants to be a wild animal that like wants to hunt, but
she wants to be a hunting dog so bad.
And it's not like inherently wrong, but it's just kind of weird. I don't like that. And the little giraffe is cute enough that it's not like weird.
You know, it looks like a cartoon giraffe, not a real giraffe.
Yeah. We've talked about Maisie a lot so far.
Maisie seems like the scrappy protagonist of a Pixar movie where all the dogs tell her that she can't be a hunting dog, but if she believes hard enough, she can be.
Or she finds another purpose in life.
A couple of other topics I wanted to cover before we get into the news, besides Maisie. One, I'm about to experience some personal tragedy in my life. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. The one item that I'm addicted to is going to be going away.
Oh my God.
You
got me really scared for a second there.
I was assuming, I was like, he's not going to tell us some.
He's not going to.
Pretty serious.
Yeah.
Coke Zero. Mm.
So I drink a lot of Coke Zero. I don't know if you've noticed.
No, not really.
There's a can of it right there.
I'm quite fond of it.
There's literally a can of it
right
there.
Right now, there's two open cans.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there's not more, actually.
Over
behind me
is the second Coke I've had. In the last hour.
Maybe, like, ration that out.
But Coke Zero
That's why we don't have,
away.
Like, five within our
Coke is doing away with Coke Zero. They're expiring retiring Coke Zero, I guess, and replacing it with something else. They're changing the formula and calling it Coke Zero Sugar, Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. I have a lot of trepidation and fear about what was going to be happening with my
They're
precious
probably
Coke
going
Zero.
To base the formula on New Coke.
Yeah, do you girls know about New Coke?
I do. I was just about to say this is exactly like New Coke, sort of.
Yeah, so New Coke not a huge was Coke fan. Before you were alive. What was it, like 80s, I guess?
It was just the worst idea.
It's 80, like Crystal Pepsi?
Like around 85. Like so what happened 86. Was in the early 80s, Pepsi started to win over some of Coke's market share. Coke had been the dominant cola for a long, long, long time, and Pepsi did this thing called the Pepsi Challenge. And they set up all these taste test booths, and they said, here, try Coke next to Pepsi and see which one you think tastes better. And there's actually a whole scientific, Malcolm Gladwell in one of his books writes a whole essay on what was actually going on. But Pepsi, because it has a very a sweeter palate, if you do just a quick taste test, more people do prefer Pepsi. But Coke, if you like drink the whole Coke and you're used to it, more people will prefer that. But if you just have like, and there was something about like Pepsi, because it's sweeter, if it's not chilled, it still tastes better because it's got a sweeter palate. So anyway, Coke was afraid that it was losing all this market share, and they decided, well, this isn't good. We need to change the formula. We need to change the recipe so it tastes more like Pepsi. So they came out with New Coke, and they got rid of Coke, and it was terrible, and everyone hated it. And after about a year, they brought back old Coke, and they called it Coca-Cola Classic. And then they kind of quietly got rid of New Coke, and it was a big disaster. And then they introduced Diet Coke, which sort of tastes more like Pepsi anyway. And that's how they managed to sort of capture some of that market share. But anyway, so Coke has had this hanging over it for whatever it is, like 35 years now. Not quite that many. 25 years.
Since 85.
Yeah. Is that 35 years?
30
plus years?
32 years, right?
And now I'm very much afraid that Coke Zero going away will be like a new Coke situation, and it's going to be terrible, and I'm
What I find strange, and you should be scared.
Dr. Pepper's side.
I agree that you should be scared, although supposedly they are basing the new formula not on new Coke, but on actual Coke. They're going to try to make it taste more like actual Coke. And they claim that
actual
it's been,
cocaine.
No, this Please. Is a family podcast.
Fun bit of but trivia.
Bleep
you
that out.
Cocaine in it.
Don't cut it out. No, just bleep out Phoebe's word.
It still has coca extract in it.
Yeah.
Extract.
Coca-Cola. The Coca-Cola company actually has a license to import coca leaves so they can use it in making Coca-Cola.
But that's
it's
different.
But it's not the same as cocaine.
No, it's not the same
the
as cocaine.
The only thing that's addictive
so,
is cocaine.
So the new formula is supposedly like closer to just actual like Coke flavor, like normal Coke flavor. And supposedly it's been like hugely popular in certain markets. So it might not be a complete disaster. But what I find really strange is that they felt the need to change it, the name to Coke Zero Sugar, because supposedly people, like some people don't understand that there's no sugar in Diet Coke or Coke Zero.
Wow.
Yeah, Coke
Which,
Zero is already zero sugar. So.
Right. But apparently some people don't get that already. To me, putting sugar in it makes it sound sugarier.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first. Is I was like, so they're making Coke Zero but with sugar?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I know like in a lot of countries, they don't have Diet Coke because it doesn't market well. Like most people think, well, I don't need that. I'm not on a diet.
Yeah.
So instead they'll have Coke Light, which is kind of like light beer or something. And so they'll feel like, oh, well, if it's just like Coke, but it's light. And Coke Light's actually pretty good. It's better than Diet Coke, although
you guys had it in Costa Rica. Zero.
Anyway,
so
so good luck with your new
you know what you
Coke, new Coke Zero Sugar.
You have the option to either stock up on food storage, got to be a prepper, on Coke Zero for the next like 5 years until the world will probably end anyway. So like you don't need it that
long. Until they realize their mistake and bring back Coke Zero.
Yeah.
I am considering hoarding it. The problem with that, though, is the artificial sweeteners over time do lose their sweetness.
But more so if they're exposed to heat. So as long as we keep it in an air conditioned
storage, like in a bomb shelter in the backyard.
What I'm thinking is maybe our guest room can just be floor to ceiling.
We need new shelves in there for the Dr. Pepper and the Coke, really.
Dr. Pepper.
We don't have a bomb shelter.
We'll just clear out some of the ammunition.
Ooh, we can't take out that.
We have no bomb shelter or ammunition.
As far as you know.
We have...
The ammunition unless you count
our diet sodas that we could shake up and aim at.
We have poppets.
Actually, we have no guns, but we have a whole bunch of ammunition. Our plan is we're just going to throw it at people.
We're just hardcore.
In Soviet Russia, you fire bullets.
We spit it out our mouth.
We give people concussions by just throwing bullets in their head. And then, your other option, Dad, is to switch over to the Dr. Pepper side. I think that's what you should do.
Or you could just straight up like...
I like Dr. Pepper.
Dad, or you could just stop drinking soda. Dr. Pepper Company is waiting for the rest of our family to switch over to Dr. Pepper. You're the last straw. Once we can be sponsored.
I like Dr. Pepper. I like regular Dr. Pepper. I just don't like Diet Dr. Pepper quite as much as Coke Zero. But usually if I'm at a restaurant and they don't have Coke Zero, that is my second choice is Diet Dr. Pepper.
Good stuff. Well, I'm not a huge fan of the diet. I tried it at work the other day because I... get drinks sometimes, and I was thinking maybe now is the time in my life to switch over to diet soda, and I was kind of like, it's pretty good, kind of wish it was normal Dr. Pepper.
It's a different flavor than Dr. Pepper, because it's more of an
exactly
almond
like
flavor. Yeah. The almond flavor is a little bit more
We really love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, well
it just tastes less like real, I don't like artificial sweetener a lot.
Try, you know, give the new Coke Zero Sugar a try. You could go over to Diet Dr. Pepper, or you can just mix together club soda and Windex and get that Pepsi experience. That's what it tastes like to me.
To me, it's more like club soda and lemon.
But in
cleaner.
Like a cup of sugar.
There's something citrusy in there.
Diet Coke kind of has a metallic taste to me.
Yeah, it's
a little
good.
Bit of a metallic taste.
See, I like that. I like just eating scrap metal. So,
yeah,
you know,
get that iron.
Diet Coke.
That's why I always catch you in the pantry, like wadding up aluminum foil and chewing on it.
I need that iron,
you
Dad.
You that metal
blending
scrape
it
and
with...
you think, oh, it's Elizabeth again.
How is it that British people say aluminum?
Aluminium.
They pronounce it the better way, honestly.
It makes
honestly.
Me laugh, though.
Yeah, like aluminium. Schedule or aluminium. Like, that's just the better way to pronounce
schedule
it.
Schedule is one thing because it's just pronouncing, like, the SCH differently. But aluminium, you're adding an extra syllable
aluminium.
That is not there.
Aluminium.
I feel that way about like how I say caramel instead of caramel, and I know that people say caramel are right, but I'm still
no,
better.
That's not right. Caramel is fine.
Caramel
is not necessarily.
Well, when people
correct.
Are like, "Look, it's actually how it's written out," and I'm like, "Yeah, but caramel's still better."
See, I've started saying caramel just because I work.
Just because you're disgusting.
I work with a lot of like
judgment.
Really, really
caramel.
Southern people. Like half of my coworkers are from St. Louis or Mississippi.
Is that a Southern thing?
It is.
Like
it
I
is
tried
a Southern
to talk
thing.
To some people about this, and we could
know.
Not
I,
come up
I
with a different
I don't know that it
thing.
Is regional. It's because people all over the country.
Yeah.
And either one is an acceptable pronunciation. Caramel.
No, because my friends who are very adamant about
okay,
caramel.
I just
caramel?
Both of them. Caramel or caramel. Either one
oh,
is
Oh, some
fine.
People do the, in the middle where they're like,
caramel.
Caramel. Carl. Let's just call it Carl from now on.
It's like, sometimes
no,
I have those words
my,
where I get sort of halfway in and I
No, some of my friends
you change your mind.
Most, who are the most adamant about it being caramel are people who are really northern. It's not a regional thing.
I got
See,
mocked
I don't know.
By my coworkers for a word that I pronounce.
What was it?
It was the word theater.
Theater.
They say it's theater.
You sound pretentious if you go, oh, yes, I'm going to the theater.
Well,
to watch
theater.
A film. Baby's Driver.
No, but he's not saying theater.
But
he's
what
saying
I say
theater.
Is theater.
Theater.
And
theater.
I think it's a Utah thing. I think
it
it's
is.
The only thing that I...
That's
yeah,
right.
No. Oh, when I was...
That, okay, I grew up in Utah, too. And to me, it, like, the theater. I can't say it normally.
No.
Theater.
But like the Vernal Theater, where we used to go, the Vernal Theater, that was like a movie theater.
Theater.
Okay?
Movie theater.
But the theater, like if you're going to go like see something theatrical
theater.
That is not a movie, then you would go to the theater. The
yeah.
Theater. Which
was like,
different.
It sounds very posh.
It
theater
does.
Or
theater.
Theater?
It sounds like it should
theater.
Be the reverse. Like theater is for movies, theater is
no,
for...
No, I hate it. When
no,
I was
theater
in,
is not... No, nobody says that. It's theater.
Well, I might say that a little bit.
Theater.
When I was in acting, I hated it. People would be like, oh, you're in theater? And I was like,
okay, so people
no.
do say that here?
No, it's like really rare. I just hate it. I mean, to be fair, here is most of the people at my school are not from the place we live.
Okay, I looked up.
It's pretty new.
I looked up Caramel versus Caramel, and the map that I'm looking at shows Caramel being in the east, and that includes like the southeast, but also northeast. Yeah,
so like the eastern seaboard as well.
And
I almost called it the left.
And Carmel.
They're
the
left.
The strongest Carmel states are all just kind of west of the Mississippi.
But it's like north.
But especially in the north, and especially in the Midwest.
What about
like
California? The northern what does Midwest. California say?
Huh. California is faintly Carmel. But only faintly.
It's kind of
faintly caramel.
And Texas is faintly caramel like on nice the northern half. And faintly caramel on the southern half.
Yeah, Texas is kind of in the middle of all that. It's weird that it's not. I feel like most divides are north and south.
Yeah,
but Phoebe, that one's an east-west.
When you said that you wanted to refer to the map as left and right, I thought it was like a political stance, like caramel versus caramel.
I mean, it is red and blue, but it doesn't match up with red.
Oh, here's one I never even thought of. I'm looking at these maps now that have different things like...
I've seen those maps before.
Right. Okay, but this is one I have not thought of. This is one I haven't thought of. Cream cheese or cream cheese?
Oh, I hate when people...
Now
wait,
I have
what?
To think about it. I'm
can
not
you,
even
can you
sure.
Repeat that?
I say cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
I guess,
you don't,
yeah,
wait, what's the alternative?
Not cream cheese.
Cream
but
cheese.
Cream cheese. Yeah.
I can see people from Texas saying cream cheese. Like they
cream
say
cheese.
Insurance or
okay.
Television.
Elizabeth,
you know which one I
it
hated?
Turns out, the other day said insurance.
I do it both
I
ways.
Did a
I don't even
take.
Think
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I do it both ways. But you know
insurance.
What? You know what annoys me?
What annoys you, dear?
This was in like second grade when I heard this and I hated it. When I was in Taekwondo with Dad. Fun fact, we're Taekwondo experts.
I think
a green belt.
I got all
belt.
The way to my green belt. Yeah.
I was a green belt white stripe.
Green belt white stripe.
I think I got a solid green
yo.
Belt.
Yeah.
Represent.
Yeah. But
thug life.
Yo, don't mess with the Talk to Dad podcast. We have green belts.
We might give you a...
And apparently bullets that we just throw at people.
I didn't stay in there long enough. I didn't stay in martial arts long enough. With you guys to get any belt, but
roundhouse
I was told my roundhouse kicks were great.
Your roundhouse kicks were really good.
Yeah. I did a really good roundhouse.
Kick
I did a good
kick,
roundhouse
people.
Kick. Anyway,
it's dance training, guys.
Kick like a horse.
But mine were inspired by annoyance, but that's another story. I was sparring with this like 13-year-old that was like a junior teacher, and I was like 7, and she was like. Okay, like, can you kick me? It's okay. And I kicked her like I roundhouse kicked her in like the shoulder. She was like a good deal taller than me, like really hard. And she was like, oh, okay. But
yeah,
anyway.
Mine was mostly spite too, honestly.
Yeah, it was spite. There were some annoying like preteen like junior instructors there who were they're normal anyway. Long story short, so I remember hearing a couple of people would say Taekwondo, and I.
Taekwondo?
Taekwondo.
Yeah, you take Taekwondo?
Taekwondo.
I hate that. Like, it like sends...
So you put
oh
it on
my
the
gosh.
Last, you put on the dough. Taekwondo.
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 Yeah.
I
Taekwondo.
Do, yeah, I Taekwondo.
So cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Cream cheese.
Okay. Taekwondo.
Cream cheese.
Police,
I
don't
mind that,
not police.
That reminds me of this
police.
Commercial.
Yeah.
This commercial that that used to be on when we were kids talking about type 1 diabetes, but... They would pronounce it Taiwan diabetes. And it was so weird. Yeah.
Taekwon.
I was like, what? Taiwan? Like Taiwan diabetes? What?
Taiwan. It's like Mexican diabetes? Taiwan?
Taiwan diabetes.
Or
only affects
Or if you're female, type Juanita.
I spent a summer working for the Dallas County DA's office as a prosecutor.
Oh, my.
And there, all of the other prosecutors used to talk about the police.
The police.
The police.
You would come home.
And that always reminded me of the old 97 song, Time Bomb.
I call the police.
But they don't like me.
It's a good song.
It is a good song.
Dude, we should do...
You would come
what
home,
are you listening to?
You would come home from work that summer, though, sounding so funny to me. Like, not that people from Texas sound fun. I mean, they kind of do.
Kind of rubbed off on me a little bit.
I love it, though. You started saying idn't and wouldn't sometimes.
Well,
it made me...
To some extent,
Twitch.
I was like trying to have it rub off on me because I was talking to juries all day.
And yeah.
You don't want to sound like a Yankee when you're talking to the juries.
No.
So
you got to take that into account.
I do not have a Texas accent necessarily for most things.
Mine has gotten worse since
but,
I started working at your donut place again.
But
I swear.
But,
worse or better?
But.
But.
when I'm like really relaxed or really tired, it's kind of what my voice like reverts to.
Yeah, can
I? I'll say something and I'm like, oh, that sounded really Southern. What the heck?
You know what though?
Like I'll say the thing is, heck. Like I'll do like like an A what the into heck?
There. Like extra syllables for your swear words. Heck.
If I'm bleep like, all of these out, Dad.
No, if I'm not concentrating or not focusing or like just kind of like relaxed. When my voice is really relaxed, sometimes I add in like an A in there. Like, what do you call that? Is that a long A? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. You just need long A.
But I'll like, say something like,
yeah,
I'm going to go to bed. There's like a little bit of A in there.
It is one of my favorite things when the We Rate Dogs site uses an asterisk in the middle of
heck. Oh, I love We Rate Dogs. Yes. I want We Rate Dogs on the podcast.
You know what, though? I have a point to make. And my point is that you actually do sound just like a North Texan. You do.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Which is kind of like a weird combination of Texan accent and like Midwestern.
But not Midwest. In a little bit. Just like generic.
Well, like lower Midwest.
But
there like
are lower Midwest.
Kansas.
Yeah. Kansas.
Well, the urban suburban Texans don't sound like the country Texans.
And I say things like get. I say get instead of get. I don't say get, really. And then
get
is more people say that in other places. And then R instead of our. Yeah. I got and when I was in theater, they were talking about that. We did a show that was Scottish, and then some judge said something about like Texan accents creeping in. We were like, "What the heck? None of us have Texas accents." And like,
but you do.
We realized that there's a kind of thing you don't think of, like R. R instead of our, like little things like that you don't think of as Texas,
right? Yeah, but it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just we don't think about it because it's so like naturalist. But I say things. I remember having my friend in like first grade. She was doing her homework, and her mom was complaining about how, she was like, it was like words that end in et, and then she was like, but git doesn't have an et. Like, that's, yeah. And she was a really smart girl, but her mom was like not from Texas, and she was like, oh no.
Was it Anna's mom?
Yes,
from New Jersey.
Yeah. She was like, I've raised my child here, and now this is she's saying git.
So
get
I have,
instead of get.
Yeah.
And do you say Mother of Jesus? What is Mother of Jesus' name?
Mary.
Mary. Okay, not Mary.
What?
There's Mary and there's Mary.
Well, I have no idea.
You're just making a weird face when you say Mary the second time.
No, it's different.
Like, Mary and Mary.
Mary and Mary.
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 Mary or Mary.
Which one's text? I can barely tell the difference.
Another podcast I listen to sometimes, they had this whole discussion about whether Don and Dawn are the same name.
D-O-N and D-A-W-N?
Yeah. People on the East Coast believe that they're pronounced differently. The female name and the male name are pronounced differently.
And how?
How?
One's more like Don. And
Don.
One's
like
Dawn.
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 Come here. Yeah.
We need to stop.
One last.
I just like Sherry or Sherry.
One last thing on pronunciation, or pronunciation, whatever.
Pronunciation.
Pronunciation.
There is no O there.
I'm currently dating somebody who pronounces things weirdly a lot of the times, and it's the funniest thing to me. Like, you know the peanut butter cup, Reese's peanut butter cups.
Yes.
They pronounce that Reese's.
Oh, I hate it. They actually had a whole like
Reese's. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that in Texas before.
It's hilarious.
Reese's.
No,
what?
I've heard this. Reese's peanut butter cup.
There was a whole
like rhymes with feces.
Okay, well, when you think about like
only podcast, I apologize. Okay,
bleep out the word feces.
There was a whole like Twitter argument or something about this. People pronounce it Reese's, and like people were like they've said it on commercials before. It's clearly Reese's. Like there is not.
No, is there an apostrophe?
Reese's Puffs. Reese's Puffs. Well, the other thing, and I say this, but there is people who've been to Texas know there's a Texas fast food restaurant called Whataburger, and in Texas it's pronounced Whataburger, but it looks
Whataburger.
Like Whataburger. But it's pronounced.
And then you always get. I remember having adults correct me when I was little and being like, "Oh, honey, you mean what a burger?" And I was like,
"Whataburger,
Whataburger." Do you see a space in there?
It's Whataburger.
Yeah, it's Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Except kinda people say
like
Whataburger.
Whataburger.
Yeah,
Whataburger.
It sounds like a burger made of water because
you wadded up a bunch of burgers.
But the thing is,
Whataburger.
The thing is, I don't care if it looks like it's Whataburger. If it's a Texas chain and the Texans say it Whataburger, it's Whataburger.
It is. It's Whataburger.
There you go.
Yeah.
And
it's a Texan,
and on those commercials, they say it Whataburger.
Whataburger.
So
it's not
there's
what strange. A burger.
There's a couple other topics I wanted to cover really quickly. One. The Emoji Movie came out.
Yay! No, I think we need cheers. Time I checked, excited
the last
cheers.
Time I checked, it was sitting at a perfect 0% on Rotten Tomato, which is really difficult to do. I think that's actually harder to do than the 100%. Yeah. There are very, very few movies that are zero.
Oh my gosh!
On
well,
Rotten
it's just
Tomatoes.
Doomed. I feel like they. It was originally like they tried. I saw trailers for it, and then they had to take it back because everyone just hated it so much.
And the interesting thought, thing, though, try to bring it back. The interesting thing, though, I have a theory that it's actually probably going to make all of its money back and maybe even make a small profit because young people are really excited about this movie being terrible. I was listening to all
That's
your young
true.
Cousins
That's
talking
true.
About it, and they all knew exactly when it was going to come out, and they were
it's
they were
true.
Talking
the
as if they were
how
excited to see it.
It.
Yeah, like they were looking forward to hate watching.
Yeah,
they
were looking true. Forward it's gonna to make all its profit through hate watching.
All the memes that are going, it's like the new B movie. It's going to be
oh,
like
yeah,
the
yeah.
movie
yeah,
that
probably
everyone
they're marketing
knows.
It.
But instead of like, the B movie where like, oh, I'm sorry.
Instead of having relationships between humans and bees, it's going to be relationships between emojis and people.
Well, no, because instead of this movie coming out, nobody really notices, and like somebody is like, hey, this is a really bad movie, and it becomes a meme like years later. We're watching this happen
they're
like in real time.
Cutting to the chase.
Yeah, and it's like they're excited about like finally.
That's
I think
our generation.
It's because like for young people, they're like, finally a movie that's coming out now that we can do memes of. Because yeah. I don't remember when Shrek came out. I'm talking in the voice of young
like
people.
A 12-year-old.
I don't remember when Shrek came out. I don't remember when the B movie came out, but this can be like our own movie to make fun of. They're
that's
like
very
seriously excited
telling.
About it.
That's
you know
very
what,
telling on like the culture of just
it
like
is. Well,
wanting
memes
to
are
hate
fun.
Watch. And yeah.
Memes are fun. Do you know what? Honestly, though, hate watching is fun. And
it's
it is
so fun.
It can be fun. Like, I still remember staying up like way too, like it was almost like,
oh my gosh.
It was the early morning hours once, like long, long ago with your dad. And we were tired. There was no reason for us to be up. We shouldn't have been staying up. But we were watching like the worst. I think it was on like, what is that station? It had like all the really bad like made for TV
Hallmark.
Was it like USA Up
yeah,
All
Night? Yeah, it was like USA
something?
Up All Night. Yeah, just horrible, horrible, horrible stuff on there.
You know, Mom and I.
But it was hilarious, and like I still think about some of those shows sometimes.
Who watched Sharknado with me when it first came
I
out?
I did.
The girls did.
We harmonized.
I did.
That was terrible. Y'all are
yes.
flat.
It always is. I think I was a little sharp.
Suddenly I'm concerned
like
that
I
our
could hack Furby.
Guys,
Furby.
I'm suddenly concerned that our listeners are going to have like seizures.
Holy, okay, I need to talk about this. You know how I hung out with Carolyn last night? We were up pretty late, which is pretty bad because I had work early that morning. But we said that we were going to watch Atomic Blonde, which is another movie that's out recently, and it doesn't look great, but it looks fun.
That's supposed we to be didn't, pretty good, pretty okay.
We didn't movie. Actually go and watch that. We stayed in and we looked at what was on Netflix, and holy cow, they made a movie. And I feel like I'm like reverting back to my middle school self saying this, but they made a movie out of Maximum Ride. And it is very,
so
really?
Much
more terrible than you could have ever imagined.
Oh my gosh.
No, okay, I guess we were watching
Maximum Ride was good.
So Maximum Ride was a young adult
yes.
series that
okay.
was
if
sort
were,
of written
like,
by, what's the author?
James Patterson.
Except I don't think he actually wrote them.
Yeah.
I think he had other people write them for him.
Not the same people either. I think
yeah.
it was different people because it got progressively like weirder.
Well, I think, yeah. see, yeah. I just thought that he forgot what was going on because he was like cranking out so many books all the time. So he just sort
weird.
Of did whatever.
But if you're
like.
Me, Elizabeth,
did they do like the where like book four suddenly like everything that preceded
had been a dream?
Was a dream. Yeah.
Yes.
There was something awful.
Oh,
like
yeah.
that.
It was so bad.
But if you're me and Elizabeth said, you know those books. And the first couples were really good.
Yeah.
Like, at least for me when I was like 12, I loved them.
Yeah. And the plot was always terrible, but like at least the characters
did.
But at least the characters. Like,
and it was flying people, so like that's cool.
Yeah, it was superheroes, and like the characters, you know, were likable and had like really likable dialogue for the
yeah.
most part.
Oh, Maisie's trying to.
But no, this movie had about a budget of maybe $2. All hired like child model actors.
Oh, that's
who, like
fun.
Looked vacant and like said their lines without any hint of emotion.
That
were really pretty.
They, yeah, they were all like. Breathtakingly gorgeous, except for a few of them. And me and Carolyn noticed that the uglier they were, the better actors they were.
Man.
That makes sense. There's
that
a certain
makes
logic
total
to that.
Sense. Yeah. yeah, their wings like literally looked like if you had like
cardboard
cutouts of wings,
really
it would
beautiful.
Look,
You were hired for something.
Yeah. But if you had cardboard cutouts of wings, it would look more realistic. Oh, and
Mom and I went and saw Valerian.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And in that movie, they cast for looks. You could tell because some of the acting is just dreadful.
Yeah, no,
she was actually not that bad. She was much better than the male lead. The male lead was pretty atrocious.
I always want to like Cara Delevingne.
She was not that bad.
I want to like her, but she's pretty bad.
She was, her acting was not bad. And honestly, I don't think that he was bad considering what he had to work with because the lines were the lines were so terrible.
But the dialogue was just awful.
But Cara Delevingne took the bad dialogue and made it look as if she was having fun with Muppets. I mean, there was this one scene where she's talking to these three like alien exposition ducks, basically. And I just kept thinking, oh my goodness, this is a Jim Henson movie in space. This is Labyrinth without David Bowie.
Muppets Take Mars.
There were actually parts of the movie that I kind of enjoyed.
But she enjoyed it, you know.
And visually, it was an interesting movie, and there was some kind of interesting things
visually,
going on.
Visually, okay, Cara Delevingne's eyebrows.
I would watch it. No, I would watch it again.
Okay, but I haven't gotten
it
to
It was bad, but fun.
I haven't gotten to the best part of this Maximum Ride thing, though.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. The credits started to roll at the beginning after like a brief little narrated introduction type thing. And the executive producer comes up. And the executive producer for this thing was Jenna Marbles. I don't know if you guys know. Yes.
I'm not kidding.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. No, Dad.
Who's Jenna Marbles?
She's a YouTuber. People call the an internet personality.
Yeah.
One of those young people celebrities.
Yes. She was a young people celebrity. YouTuber. How have I not heard of this?
It's absolute trash. It was terrible.
I'm just trying to wrap my mind around the fact that there's, a Maximum Ride movie, and it's...
Came out last year, 2016.
Yeah, and we didn't hear about it. And it was produced by Jenna Marbles. So like, all of these things together.
Yeah, it should be like the perfect storm of publicity, but nobody watched it because it had a budget of about like $5 and a coupon from Taco Bell.
Did it come out in theaters or was it straight to Netflix?
I'm pretty sure
Netflix.
It has to be straight to Netflix.
Or straight to video or something.
I cannot imagine any theater actually
really
running this.
I'm still like mind-boggled that I didn't hear about it. I watch a lot of YouTube. I don't watch Jenna Marbles, but...
So bringing it back to the Emoji Movie.
Okay.
One last thing to say about
the main focus of this podcast.
Did you know, and maybe everyone knew this already, but they got Patrick Stewart to play the poop emoji.
I'm sorry, what?
I heard that
Patrick
was going
Stewart
to have that.
Plays the poop emoji.
Your favorite emoji.
Like, why?
You know,
why does he need that in his career? Like,
he's a classically trained actor.
They must have paid him a lot of money. They must have paid him a lot of money to be the poop emoji.
I mean, you have to. It's a job. It's a paycheck.
I died a little bit inside. Yeah, like it's a paycheck, but like, does he need the money? I mean,
he's a big fan of the poop emoji.
You wouldn't think so. All right, and then the last topic I wanted to cover. This is something that I found out about when we were on our trip. We were at. Allison's family reunion, and one of your aunts was talking about this. I was totally unaware of this food trend until I was told about it. Mm-hmm. But apparently there is a food trend now where there are shops that sell nothing but cookie dough. Edible cookie
scoops.
Dough, they call it.
It's like scoops of
scoops
cookie dough.
Scoops of cookie dough. Maybe
like you can get a couple scoops.
Like chocolate chip or snickerdoodle but it's just the cookie dough meant to be eaten. So I was reading about this. Apparently, it started in the last couple of years, but this summer, it's really kind of taken off.
It's in Utah, of course.
It's in Utah. It's in Illinois. It's in Tennessee.
Oh, really?
I can see Tennessee.
Yeah, Nashville. There's one that just opened up in Nashville, Tennessee. There's one in New York. It started in New York City a couple of years ago.
Okay.
It's kind of started in a couple different places at the same time, and then it's sort of grown.
Yeah, I understand how that would start. It's something that of course everyone eats cookie dough. I just don't think they should make a business of it.
No, they really shouldn't. It's like making a business out of eating like raw broken up pieces of ramen. Like people do it, but like you shouldn't market bad college habits, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Or depression binges.
Yes, exactly.
And I will totally admit, look, I have made cookies before and eaten some of the dough. In fact, Mom made cookies tonight and I ate some of the dough. But that's different than getting a whole scoop of it in a cup or on an ice cream cone.
And
they'll put
it
on ice cream cones and you just eat it off the ice cream cone.
Oh, no.
And I don't know. There's something about it. Like,
there's something depressing about that.
I Googled it before the podcast. There is not one in Dallas right now. There's, as near as I can tell, there's not one in Texas. Although I suspect it's going to be coming soon.
If there's one coming soon, sponsor us.
Yeah, sponsor us. We love your sad depression food.
Purely for scientific purposes.
I love your food.
Purely for scientific purposes, I would try it once.
Yes. Right. It's just so dense. But something you don't about want it seems.
Well, apparently they do make it lighter. Like, it's not the same as cookie dough. They make it more appealing, a little less sweet, and a little lighter and whipped. But still, it just seems like. And I guess part of the appeal, a lot of people speculate part of the appeal is because you've been told all your life, don't eat raw cookie dough.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're eating something you're not supposed to eat. But it's just, it just seems like that's too much.
The thing about cookie dough is it's, I mean, it's pretty good, especially if it's like really good cookie dough. But
I've
it's always going to be better
cookie dough
baked.
Before.
But it's better baked. Oh, a warm baked cookie. You get the brown on the outside and the goo on the inside.
It depends on what you're wanting that time. I've got days where I would just want cookie dough. But
yeah, I'm with you on that.
Some of these restaurants, when I was Googling it, some of these restaurants, they sell it as a cookie dough sandwich. So there are two cookies on the outside and then raw cookie dough on
the inside.
Okay,
I can do that.
No, this is making me sick.
That kind of grosses me out.
That's grosser than,
No, I could do that, I guess. I like that better than the scoops.
This is making me feel
nauseous. Like just a bowl of raw cookie dough scoops.
No.
I don't know.
No.
But like I say, for the purposes of science, I would be willing to try it just once.
Yes, and we will totally accept the sponsorship of this regrettable.
Again, I know somebody who would be disgusted by this because they hate the texture of cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I've ever met who doesn't like the texture of cookie dough, but it's So there are people out there who like just cookies better than just raw cookie dough.
Well, I like cookies better than raw cookie dough.
There are people out there
always better.
Don't like cookie dough.
If you didn't, why would anyone ever bake them? Right? I do agree with Mom. I think they're better baked.
Mm-hmm.
Although you know,
I just think they serve different purposes. It's like comparing apples and oranges. Like sometimes I want cookie dough. Sometimes I want cookies. They fulfill different needs. It's not like which one's better. Because of course. You could argue for forever over whether ice cream or cookies are better, but at some point you would still want one or the other.
That just makes me want a good like ice cream sandwich between two nice fresh cookies.
We have that in Dallas.
And
that
it's delicious.
Makes me want treats.
Celery. I'm going to say something controversial here.
Oh no.
I don't really like the ice cream sandwich in between the cookies. I would rather have a traditional ice cream
That's
sandwich.
Fair.
No tips
the
treats.
The cookies are just a little too much.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
too
when
much,
they,
and it doesn't,
when it's warm,
it doesn't fit the texture of the ice cream.
No, mm-hmm. When it's warm, it's so good.
I would
good.
Rather have a cookie and
warm
an ice
cookies.
Cream separate than have them in an
no,
ice cream
when it's
sandwich.
Fresh, it's so good. We've had that in Dallas, downtown Dallas before.
Actual ice cream sandwiches are so perfect in and of themselves.
No,
I feel like.
No.
Yeah, well, that's a different, I think that's a different thing. You know what, though? If I were going to do like a greater than thing, I think like ice cream or cookies, they're good. I think ice cream sandwich is good. I think ice cream cookie sandwich is really good. But like honestly, the best thing is when you just have a hot, like fresh in the oven cookie and put a scoop of ice cream on it and eat it like that with like a spoon or whatever.
It's good, but like
cookies
and milk is the classic combo.
Yes.
Like it's not, the milk kind of levels it out. It's not too sweet or anything.
Once I made a sandwich out of
the warm cookie with the ice cream.
Once I made a sandwich out of, I want to say they were chocolate chip cookies. And then I got like the Ben and Jerry's. It was the stuff that has like the cookie butter at the center. Oh, and I made a sandwich out of it and it was really good. And you're hating.
I'm
but
not
that's
hating.
Because
no, I'm thinking
you're just
about
jealous
that.
Of my great lifestyle.
I'm not hating.
Okay.
All right. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
All right. Our first story. King cobras in a can. Deadly snakes arrive in the U.S.
Why do they always do snake stories?
Potato chips.
It's like
there's
you just
a
want
snake
me to make
in my chips.
Jokes.
This story is from National Public Radio, NPR. A suspicious that a package shipped from Hong Kong might contain smuggled animals. U.S. agents who opened the package found three live king cobra snakes hidden in potato chip cans. The man who received the package outside Los Angeles has been arrested on federal charges. Rodrigo Franco, age 34, could face 20 years in prison on a charge of illegally importing merchandise, federal prosecutors said Tuesday. U.S. officials accused him of violating the Endangered Species Act and falsifying records. The package had been sent via the U.S. Postal Service. Each of the deadly king cobra snakes that were sent to Franco's address were about 2 feet long, according to an affidavit filed in federal court. In addition to the venomous snakes, agents found 3 albino Chinese soft-shelled turtles when they opened the parcel on March 2nd.
Where's the demand?
Probably 70% of our episodes have an article that you've found about snakes, Dad.
Okay.
Well, snakes, I don't know. There's a certain appeal. Also, these are really important stories. We try to cover all the most important stories.
It doesn't appeal to me.
And some of the most important stories have snakes in them.
Yeah, because you got to be, we have to alert our listeners to be on the lookout.
About the snake situation.
Do you want to see the picture?
Cans from China.
No, I hate that.
Okay.
No,
I don't want to look.
No, I don't like snakes.
Coming out of a potato chip
can. Dad just wants me to make the jokes about snakes, and it's become my branding, and it's just not okay.
I just won't look. So there are certain things I just don't need to look at.
My question about this is, like, where's the demand for smuggling king cobras across the border? Like, who wants to buy those?
Well,
people do.
I read an article about this a few years back, and there is a very intense traffic and trade in illegal animals. And people will, like, stuff them down their pants and get on planes.
There's a snake in my pants.
Inside their clothing.
No, and Elizabeth, because they're illegal
to trade, the price for them is really high because of supply and demand.
Well, like the news article we read on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week. I don't know. The guy that had like all of these exotic, scary pets like living in his house and in his swimming pool, and he had a cobra escape that one of the neighbors.
I assumed that he was like a scientist of some sort.
No,
he's just some jerk.
He was an outlaw.
Man.
I get one last detail from this story. According to court documents, FWS Special Agent Aaron Dean had verified the snakes were king cobras by sending photographs to Ian Recchio, the reptile curator of the Los Angeles Zoo. But Recchio said he couldn't house the snakes in his zoo because it didn't have anti-venom to protect against the possible bites. Recchio told Dean that if someone had been bitten by one of the cobras, they likely would have died, as there is not a ready source of anti-venom that he knew about in Los Angeles. He said the closest source was the San Diego Zoo, which was too far away for someone with a king cobra bite to travel. So don't get bitten by a king
cobra. I really do not
like
snakes at all, and they freak me out. And I wish there were just no snakes ever on this podcast.
So be careful when you're opening up your cans
of potato
chips.
I'm already on the podcast. You can't just kick me out of the family.
Bet.
All right, who wants to read their story next?
I'll read it. Mine has no snakes. So that's my favorite part about it. Kentucky newspaper's correction, hot dogs are not sandwiches. And Kentucky newspaper
I have strong feelings
waded
about this.
Into one of the internet's hottest debates with a correction to stories dating back to 1887 that referred to hot dogs as sandwiches.
Aren't they, though?
We'll get to that in a minute, Elizabeth. No commentary for the moment. The Louisville Courier.
Well, they don't make
anyway.
Curry.
The journal
it's still the courier.
Issued a correction July 19th to 10 articles ranging from 1887 to 1966 as a means of showing support for the argument that hot dogs are not sandwiches, and they have all of them listed out there. We're deadly serious about accuracy. It Courier Journal, the newspaper's executive editor Joel Christopher tweeted.
So and they then, made corrections going back to like the 30s and 40s.
I have, yes. Well, actually, 1887.
Yeah. So going back to the 19th century. This was kind of an in-your-face thing to do. This wasn't like a correction.
We've
got
some commentary on fellow podcasters here. It says, it raised the ire of many pro-hot dogs and sandwiches side, including Sporkful podcast host and James Beard Award nominee Dan Pashman. I'm buying a subscription just so I can cancel it, he tweeted. It hit him back with a follow-up article on its website. Dan has received quite a lot of accolades over the years, but he's so wrong in this one. He probably thinks a taco is a sandwich too, or even a Hot Pocket.
All right, can we take a quick poll? Where do you guys fall on this
debate?
Should
just say yes or no, whether it's a sandwich. One,
it's more complex than this question.
One, two, three. Yes.
Yes.
Wait, what was the question?
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
One, two, three.
Yes.
We all agree.
It's just meat between buns.
It's podcasters versus the world.
Meat condiments between buns. Like,
but beyond that, you don't go back and like change things in articles written 200 years ago or 100 years, however many years ago that was.
Obviously, you dingus.
Because at the time, if it was considered a sandwich, it was like the new novel thing, the hot dog. dog.
You have to preserve the historical
the
intent.
Fact that yes. All of these references the historical called integrity. It a sandwich is evidence that it is, in fact, a
right.
sandwich.
Right.
Yes.
Hot pockets so were never considered thing, though, sandwiches. Like, they're obviously calzones.
No,
how is it not a sandwich?
Sandwiches.
I don't even understand the argument because it's meat between two pieces of bread. So a sub sandwich is always a sandwich, right?
Yeah.
A po' boy is a sandwich.
Yes.
A hot dog is basically like a sub
I know.
Or a po'
boy. It's on
boy.
A roll.
Yeah,
yeah
it's just sideways.
It's on a roll.
I don't
on a hot dog roll.
Understand the argument. I think it's a silly
it's
argument.
Totally a
and
sandwich.
I think it's obviously a sandwich.
Yeah. It's not even like a radical idea at this point. Like,
oh, what about a gyro?
What's a gyro again?
I think a gyro is a sandwich.
Yes.
I think
yeah,
it's
a sandwich.
It's a sandwich.
A gyro is like the meat that they carve off the rotating spigot and
oh,
then
you're
put,
right.
it
put it
inside,
in a pita.
Inside a pita. A spigot?
Spigot.
A spigot.
A pita.
A rotating spit.
A meat spigot.
And they carve the,
spigot.
They carve the meat off
okay,
the spit.
Okay, this doesn't
and
even matter anymore.
Think
about
a pita
spigots.
And they put
think
some
about turning
sauce.
On your.
Okay, but this doesn't matter
we're
as
all
much
just
as
stuck
think
on
about
meat spigots.
Well, yeah,
because
I mean,
Dad,
think about like turning on the faucet in your bathroom and like bologna comes
in our
out.
House.
I would like
Ew.
To have a spigot that has gyro meat coming out of it.
I would like to have a spigot with tzatziki sauce, but not gyro meat.
What about like just ground like ground beef, like raw ground beef, just from your spigot?
No,
disgusting, Elizabeth. Not on the family podcast.
That's
I
horrifying.
Want,
and I'm
I want
nightmares.
A spray cheese spigot.
No, gross.
Easy
just
cheese.
Just turn it on.
That's not easy. It's not easy to clean out the bowl of your sink after that.
Do you know what this is making me think
nacho
of?
Cheese
oh, no.
Spigot.
Okay, so I've seen nacho cheese spigots.
Well, it's not
spigots.
Your cheese.
I have seen
not,
nacho cheese
well, yeah,
spigots.
I've seen those too.
But it makes
really?
Me think soft serve cheese,
yeah,
which
like
reminds me of that McDonald's story with the one, this kid. Okay, this isn't a news story that we printed out or talked about or anything. But
maybe
you,
we should have.
We maybe should have. There was a kid that worked at McDonald's that posted, I think on Instagram or Snapchat or someplace.
Oh, I saw this. This
yes.
was just the other day.
Like the tray from the underneath of part of the ice cream
ice
machine
cream
at McDonald's.
Maker.
And it was all nasty and moldy and horrifying.
And
he
got
fired.
Oh.
But now I don't want to get ice cream at McDonald's. Even though I
know,
realize
it was so gross.
Even though I realize maybe most McDonald's clean out their ice cream machines.
It's only going to last a couple days and then I'll want a soft serve ice cream. Then.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Let's
probably.
Get soft serve ice cream after this.
For now, I'm shocked and appalled and horrified.
It
so that
really
actually is a perfect lead up because I have a McDonald's story.
Yes.
Oh, yay.
McDonald's hamburger straws become viral craze in Japan. Japanese social media users are sharing photos of the latest food trend in the country using McDonald's burgers as drink toppers. This trend, Kotaku reported, is known variously as drink X hamburger and hamburger straw, and involves punching a hole in the middle of a burger to allow the straw to be inserted through the middle and into the beverage.
What?
Ooh, I'm looking at a picture and I like it.
You want me to read what it is
I
in Japanese?
I don't get it.
Show
no, they don't have it here.
They don't have it in Japanese.
In the Kotaku
hamburger.
Article, they do.
Hamburger
show
straw.
Mom the picture, Elizabeth.
The hamburger straw has been done with the sandwiches as thick as Big Mac, and
show.
And photos posted to Instagram show some adventurous photographers using McChicken sandwiches and various breakfast sandwiches to top these drinks. Observers suggested in the Cosmopolitan this trend may have been inspired by a trend that began last summer when people started photographing iced coffee beverages with donuts around the straws. And here's the picture.
Wouldn't little bits of the bun get in your drink?
No. You just suck it out from the straw.
You, or you use a different straw to punch the hole.
Do you use,
I mean, I didn't think about
keep
that.
The lid. You
Japanese
keep the lid on.
Is
yeah, you keep the lid on.
Hambaga drinku or hambaga straw.
Well, yeah.
You just
sound
racist.
The
yeah.
picture,
that's
the
what
picture
it is.
Sounds cute.
I'm
yeah, that is actually
it
how
the way
it's pronounced.
Spelled.
Because hamburger is hambaga.
Like the picture.
Hamburger.
So apparently, like in Japanese
hamburger.
Instagram and Instagram for like
yeah,
Japanese
give
users,
me that hamburger.
We're seeing a lot of
oh my
these.
Gosh.
There's a whole bunch of pictures in the Kotaku article.
But if you put it, okay, if you put your straw through the hamburger, though, then there's a plug of meat and stuff in the straw.
You know what you do?
Big Macs.
What?
You don't do that. That's what I would do is you get another straw to punch it through, and then you get the other straw.
So you use two straws.
Yeah, I would use two straws. I don't want to contaminate.
I'm definitely going to post some of these pictures.
You just got
to
suck it up for the aesthetic.
Our Instagram account or to our Twitter so you can see what it looks like. It looks ridiculous.
It's kind of cute, though.
But it's kind of fun.
I'm just wondering how you would eat that, because, I mean...
You kind of just nibble around it?
You'd have
it?
To, like, nibble around it, but it would get awkward when you
eventually
need the
you're
center
just have to take it
of
off
the hamburger.
And eat it. I don't know
yeah.
what the purpose
well,
is,
no,
other
no, no,
than
no.
it looks kind of funny.
I think that's nice.
It does look funny.
You have your whole meal, and you're just holding it in one hand.
Oh,
that's true.
True.
That's
that would be
handy.
Convenient if you were driving and
they
eating.
Should make
however,
fry containers that can go around.
Yeah, okay.
And then you can hold it all in one hand.
See, I'm just kind of viscerally horrified, and I don't really understand this reaction at all, but I'm really actually kind of horrified by seeing, like, the burger on top of the drink. Like, I don't know why I just need that separation. I know, you get a lid, but, like, it's still gross to me. I don't know why.
Is it because you don't want your hamburger touching the lid? Because
it's greasy, and I don't...
That doesn't bother me for some reason.
No, I would do it. I'm gonna do it.
I'm thinking that would be convenient while you're driving.
I'll do it for the sake of the Instagram. If you take me to get a McChicken after this, Dad.
Let's do it.
Did you read the end of the article about how they speculate this came about?
Yeah,
from the donuts on ice coffee.
From the donuts on the, because at least you can lift the donuts off.
Yes, okay. Donuts, but the donuts have a hole in the middle.
And they have a hole in the middle, and they're not like, and they're not layered, so there won't be like any like lettuce and crap falling off of it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That is an controversial odd food trend.
Japan odd has interesting trends.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more story left, right?
Oh, yeah. Wait, just one?
Yeah, just yours. I just read this, Mom.
Okay. All right. Boy trips, falls, and discovers million-year-old fossil. You know, like we do. Yeah, every time. Okay, so researchers have their hand on a rare fossil from the Pleistocene era thanks to a 10-year-old's clumsiness. I think that's a little rude to call him clumsy. Mm-hmm. But he did fall down. So this 10-year-old kid, Jude Sparks, said he literally fell on the 1.2 million-year-old skull of a stegomastodon, a massive prehistoric creature with tusks like an elephant, while on a hike with his parents in New Mexico. So he was running ahead of his parents, and he tripped and just fell right on the tusk of a stegomastodon, because I don't know. That's just what happened.
That's just how it worked out.
Yeah, I don't get, like, it must have been exposed. I don't understand how nobody ever saw it. Like, if it,
I mean, it could have just eroded around it.
Maybe. Okay. So the stegomastodon is an ancestor to modern day elephants. And so he tripped, he fell on it, and then his parents contacted a biologist at the who was a professor at New Mexico State University. Peter Howd, or Hood, I think Howd, maybe. And he brought his team over, and they applied chemical hardeners to the fossil, mimicking the bone strength provided by protein to keep it intact, because otherwise you try to move it and it crumbles. And then once they dug that from the ground, the fossil was coated in plaster and supported by wood braces, and they transported it to New Mexico State University's Vertebrate Museum, where it now lives. And apparently it's not going to be, like, in an exhibit for a while. It takes a long time, but the professor that they contacted said that, you know, when this little boy maybe grows up, he might be able to show his own children, look, I found this fossil, and it's I found it right here in New Mexico, and it's in the museum now.
Okay, so I saw this. I think maybe an aunt showed it to us. I think Annie showed it us this article, because I know someone showed it to me.
Allison showed it to me, so.
Yeah.
I want to say Annie showed it to us, an aunt, but.
Maybe.
My question was, does this kid get paid?
Taunt. Yeah, seriously.
Because I feel like he probably doesn't, and I feel like he should have demanded money.
There was something in the article about, like, it was on private land.
Yeah, they had
like
to.
Was it a relative of his or something?
It was on private land. Let me look. I just know, like, the process to get it out.
Mm. Yeah, they had to get permission from the landowner because it wasn't...
they had to excavate.
I got the idea it wasn't the kid's land, but it wasn't... The government couldn't just come in and get it. They had to get permission from the landowner.
So it would be against the law to, for, you know, New Mexico State to take it without the landowner's permission. So, and the property owner has asked that the precise site will remain confidential. I guess that's why it hadn't been found before, maybe. Because I imagine, like,
it was private
if it was somewhere where a lot of people were hiking, I'm thinking, like, at a national park or something, surely someone would have seen it.
But if they released the location, they'd probably have people trying to trespass in their land and find
it. Oh, yeah.
And
look for more fossils. Not only that, but people will come through, and because, you know, some people are not good people, a lot of people will go through and, like, try to, like, dig up and get things to take home, or they'll just destroy stuff because, I don't know.
I feel a little bit bad that I've fallen lots of times and never found a million-year-old fossil.
I've fallen so many times and I didn't get anything out of it.
I'm thinking, like, all the times that I've gone hiking, I've fallen so many times.
In love, Elizabeth?
Aww.
We were telling, do we have an awe drop?
Aww. We do? Wow.
We were telling...
nice, this is a classy...
We were telling the boys the other day in the car about... Because we were driving through the canyon that kind of leads up to the university where Dad and I met. And we were telling the boys that we used to go hiking there sometimes together when we were dating. And there was one time that we were up there and there was still ice because it was in March. And I kept slipping and falling on my backside. Yeah, but Dad was really nice and didn't laugh and just like helped me up every single time I fell on my backside. Oh, which I explained to the boys is like why we're married instead of like this is a story about my rude guy that I dated once that used to laugh at me when I fell on my butt.
When I did the tour of the business building in that university, can we say where it is?
I don't know. Should we say where it is?
Utah State is the one I really want to go to.
It's the state.
They were like,
that's wearing a Utah State shirt right now.
They're actually, I am both Phoebe and
Be Phoebe and Dad.
It is the college that Allison, that mom and I went to, Utah State.
Elizabeth, you're not wearing one.
Great school. No.
Great school.
Okay, I thought you said you were.
Gorgeous location.
Yeah, super
lots of good hiking.
I really like it. But hopefully I'll probably go there.
It's a great campus. Holy cow.
It's really fun.
But
lots of good hiking places where I fell and did not discover fossils.
But the guy who's giving me the tour, when they're giving me the tour, they keep asking you, like, so what kind of things are you into? And you've already listed all of them. And they're like, uh-huh. And you're like, feel compelled to tell them more. So you're like, I also do this. Like, you're like running out of things, so you're like almost making stuff up. So you're like, feel bad, but you're like, I paint, which is like a half truth because I kind of paint,
you
but like
paint.
Not that well. Like, it's not like
you
a
paint
huge
really
thing,
well.
Though. Anyway, but they were like, yeah, it's also really good for lots of like outdoor sporting type stuff. So like, do you enjoy any of that? And I didn't want to be like, no, I'm actually not that athletic and don't really like being outside. So I was like, I like hiking.
I walk places, so that's hiking.
I like hiking. Yeah. And they were like, oh, well, because I could feel them like leading up to that. So I felt like I had to say it. So I was like, I hike.
Well, I mean, if by hiking you mean like messing around in the creek by our house.
If by hiking you mean when I have to go downstairs to get food while I'm up in my room.
And then you go back upstairs, so that's
and everybody,
like,
gosh, yeah. All the hikers downstairs are like, look, a sighting.
All right.
But yeah, I kept feeling like they were like pressured to like make up all this stuff about myself because they were like,
they were
what
very
else
much.
Do you like to do? And I was like, you weren't even there, the business people. They were,
were they
more,
even more so.
Yeah, and I was like, they were like, what else do you like to do? And I
was
like,
it was just you.
I was like, I've already named like five things. Like, I don't, no one does that much.
I'm too boring.
And it was
I'm
a little
too
bit,
boring to start listing more
things.
It was
a little bit like a job interview type situation where they ask a question, then they wait for you to answer. They're not just going to move on until you answer.
And well, I was like, I like hiking.
That was, yeah, when it's just lamp. When it's just you that they're talking to instead of a group, that's a little different.
Well,
but
they're
like,
trying
I
to
noticed,
be like, well, Utah State is great for that.
Yes. Well, I noticed like with the big group, you know, there was very much a, we're only half an hour from a ski resort. And
I know, it was very like
gorgeous,
that.
Yes.
So on the business day, I felt like compelled, like they, I could feel them like leading up to that. So they're like, do you like to do anything else?
Like
when we were looking
skiing?
At the beautiful view, like, and I was like,
like rock climbing?
Hiking's fun. I actually don't really like it. I so usually complain the whole time.
So what kinds of things are you into? Well, I on the weekends I like to summon demons in my bedroom. Awesome. You know,
our campus demon summoning program.
Our campus
we're
has one of the most
negative three.
Our campus has one of the best dark magic clubs. It's nationally ranked.
It was ranked by Forbes
the
magazine
is built
as the
right
most scenic place to
mouth.
Raise demons. The most beautiful like, campus in America to raise demons.
But I was thinking, oh, come on. Nobody does this many things. He just kept asking me about more things I do. And I was like, no one does this much. I do a lot. I do
you
a
are
lot
a busy girl, yeah.
Just
I mean,
choir,
comparatively to
piano.
Like,
you have many interests.
And like, I was like, lots of things. And I was still just like, I like to paint things sometimes.
Yeah. And like, if I was there, I'd just be like, oh, I read. I write. I read some
I'm
more.
I'm on a podcast.
You know what I like?
I cry.
I like to try different treats.
Oh, look at that segue.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
That was smooth.
All right.
We're a little
Thank
rambly
you.
On this one.
A little rambly, and we're running out of time, so I wanted to get right to it.
Oh, no.
We've got some treats that we picked up during our car trip. These treats were bought in Trinidad,
Colorado.
Colorado.
Because there's a marijuana
right
dispensary
corner
right by it.
close to New Mexico. And there are some odd ones. It was in a gas station convenience store.
It had a store
next
to it.
Two things I've never seen before. This one in particular that I'm holding in my left hand right now is this one of the strangest treats I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I found that one.
It is Sweet Fire Sriracha Cotton Candy. So it is sriracha-flavored cotton candy. I don't recognize the name of the company that makes this. It is Coco's Confectionery and Novelty from... looks like it may have... It says it's manufactured in Mexico, but it is a Maryland company. Huh. Let's try it out.
What's going on?
It was a really sketchy gas station.
Sriracha-flavored cotton candy.
Boy.
Ooh, it smells interesting.
I'm not looking forward to this. It sounds awful.
We picked this up, but like we're not looking forward to
it. It didn't survive the trip very well. It's like just crumbs in here.
It's just melted.
It's just crumbs.
Can I sniff it?
I think it was cotton candy at one time, and right now it's just crumbs. Maybe get a spoon.
Ew, it smells gross too, but it's like a powder.
Just pour some into your hand.
Yeah, just guys.
Just snort it.
Oh, I do not want to try this.
Don't snort it.
I'm going to snort it.
No, you guys. I feel like now is a good time for a public service announcement.
Don't snort
candy.
And don't snort chocolate cocoa. We talked about that in one of the recent podcasts.
Yeah.
You will destroy
your sinuses.
The boys are
coming over to try some of it. I don't really know why.
Well, because they want to.
Because they love pain and suffering.
How is it, Phoebe?
Ugh. It doesn't really taste like sriracha. It's just like kind of gross strawberry candy with an...
Oh my gosh, it really is
salty.
Powder.
It's
dissolved.
Sweet and sour and salty all at the same time.
I'm not a fan of that. Why is it sour?
It tastes like bad salty strawberry candy.
You gotta say, it's probably extra concentrated since it's like supposed to be cotton candy and it's like disintegrated into a powder.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's bad.
It's almost hard to talk after you eat it.
No, it's so gross.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's not spicy, though.
Why is it not spicy at all? So the boys came over here because they are just drawn to treat yourself like moths to a flame. But I just saw... Will just spit it into the sink and is like rinsing off now. And I just saw...
What does everyone think?
I just saw Henry wipe out his mouth with his shirt.
It feels bad, man. It's bad.
I feel bad.
It's so bad.
It's not in the cotton candy.
I think if it was in the cotton candy form, it might be a solid... Like,
it might be better.
Can we burn this?
I'm going to call it. Okay. I don't mind it.
What?
It's not that bad.
Nasty.
It's interesting.
Then finish it off.
It's got an interesting flavor.
No, it's bad.
No, that was gross.
I might eat the rest of it.
Oh my gosh, why? What is wrong with you?
It sounds like the rest of you all agree that it is.
Yum, 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 yum.
Is that right?
No.
Am I getting that right?
Turn around.
We need paper towels, please. I have this all over my hands now, and I don't want to look at it.
No, seriously?
That is so gross.
That's gross.
Oh, it's so
Everyone
gross.
Everyone thinks it's so gross.
I think it needs a step beyond
that. If
it was
in cotton candy form, maybe there'd be some redeeming quality to it, but there's not, because it's just a gross powder.
I can't see that happening, honestly.
No.
Cannot see that. Okay, so the second thing, I've actually been trying to get Dad to do these for forever, because some of my friends tried these, and there were some very mixed reactions. It's Dippin' Dots Gumballs. Hmm. Apparently it's filled with Dippin' Dots like candy inside. Hold on, let me open it.
I don't have any desire to eat these just because Dippin' Dots are ice cream.
What?
And Dippin' Dots candies are just going to be like gross nerds.
Okay, what?
Are they like the flavor of Dippin' Dots?
I guess so.
I think they're just going to be like nerds.
So we don't get political here on the podcast, but are you guys aware that Sean Spicer has a grudge against Dippin' Dots?
What?
So Sean Spicer, who recently resigned as the White House press secretary, in an old tweet, he had several tweets that were anti-Dippin' Dots because he didn't believe that Dippin' Dots are really the ice cream of the future. And I got to say, I kind of agree with him about that.
My favorite Sean Spicer tweet is from like 2014 or something. And it's like, whoever just unfollowed me, show yourself, you coward.
Okay, what do you guys think about this?
I just don't care. Like, it's what I thought it would be. It's so just it's a gumball with some crunchy bits.
With, like, little sprinkles inside them. Right?
But there's nothing remotely Dippin' Dots-ish about it.
There's nothing remotely anything about it. It's just a gumball with some crunchy things. That's what I thought it would be.
Yeah, there's some crunchy particles on the inside, but it's just a gumball.
See, the last time I tried these with some of my friends, there were some extreme reactions. We were in...
It's not extreme at all.
We were in a Walmart, and we saw this candy dispenser with these in them. And one of my friends actually ran onto the parking lot to spit it out.
Really?
It just tastes like a gumball.
Yeah, generic gumball.
It tastes like a gumball that has some... Like the kind of round sprinkles that are sometimes on cupcakes.
Yeah.
Inside the gumball.
Like in the center.
But they're not good
at all.
They're
not ice cream flavored.
No. And no. The sprinkles are just kind of, they taste like food coloring.
Yeah.
They're not even like nerds. They're just kind of gross.
Are sprinkles ever good?
Yeah.
Really? Like the taste of them?
Well, sometimes
they're fun, the texture, but do they taste good?
Like the little round sprinkles that are on like the little frosted animal cookies.
The pink
and white ones. It's the texture on there that's really good, like with the waxy frosting. I love those.
Mm-hmm. They're fun, but do they actually taste? I mean, do they have a flavor to them?
No, it's all texture.
Some of them taste like sugar, but these don't.
Or food coloring. It tastes a little like food coloring.
I have no. This is exactly what I thought.
I am going
it'd
to
be.
Rule these to be
meh. M-E-H. Meh.
That's fair.
They're okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're okay.
Okay.
So if I was really, really wanting a gumball, I would totally eat these and feel fine because they're just gumballs.
I just don't see why there's any controversy about that. It's just like a gumball.
Yeah, well, I think it is
losing its flavor quickly.
Like gumballs do. I do like the cute little like stamp of Dippin' Dots they have on them. That's cute.
Yeah, they're cute.
I expect them to be like ice cream flavored.
They're big gumballs.
But they're just the flavor of gumball gum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought it would just be gumball flavor.
It's kind of disappointing, honestly.
They're cute, though.
They're cute.
Yeah.
If we could actually get, like, ice cream inside of gumballs somehow through science, that'd be pretty cool.
Through science? It wouldn't be
through
that
science.
Hard. They would just have to stay frozen.
What if it was, like, freeze-dried ice cream inside?
Oh, I love, like, astronaut ice cream. Don't put it inside a gumball. It's way better outside of a gumball. Mm. Gumballs do not need to be the next new, like, trend.
Freeze-dried ice cream is really good.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like freeze-dried ice cream.
The reason to go to it. To a planetarium.
Yeah.
I like it, but it makes your teeth feel weird.
Well, yeah.
All right.
It's a reason to go to space, I would argue.
So, did we get a ruling from everyone? It's somewhere between okay and meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like gumballs, you'll probably think these are okay.
Mm-hmm. But there's nothing real special about them other than they got sprinkles on the inside of them.
Yeah. And a stamp on the outside that says
I'm surprised your friends had such a strong reaction to them.
Yeah. They're like...
Honestly, I was just laughing.
One of the most... boring things we've ever tried on here.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
You're the most boring.
Well, it was worth trying. Nice. I'd never tried them before.
Yeah.
And that is our podcast today. So.
Oh, quick update on TTD D&D. I'm finishing up the script and it'll be out soon. And also, Dad, I think I said last time we gave an update that if you didn't have a name for your character by next time, I'd just go ahead and name him Bob Ross. Do you have a name
Bob
for him
Ross
yet?
Isn't so bad. How
that
about Chad?
A great name.
Chad?
No. No.
How about Ruan?
Let's put up a Twitter poll.
No.
What?
No. What,
Ruan?
Guys?
Oh, yeah. Twitter poll.
Guys,
let's put up a Twitter poll.
We'll put up a Twitter poll, and we'll put up a couple options.
I like Bob
Ross,
though.
Do it on the Talk to Dad podcast.
What about
podcast
Bob Moss, since he's a ranger?
Bob Moss.
No.
Dave?
Well, Phoebe, you
can
all...
Can it be Dave?
Dave. We'll put up some.
Dad, put up a Twitter poll tonight.
Yeah, we'll put up
some
Twitter polls.
We'll come up with some options and put up a Twitter poll.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just a quick update on that.
Leave it open for a while, though.
Well, they're only open 24 hours, so let's just do it once you release the podcast.
Okay. We'll figure it out. Maybe I'll put it up on Monday because I think more people check Twitter on Monday than over the weekend.
Okay, so it'll be up Monday.
All right.
Sometime. Watch for it.
So thank you, Elizabeth, Phoebe, Mom, for participating in the podcast today.
No.
Thank you for everyone who's listening. By the way, July, we had more downloads than any other month so far. We've now got over 3,000 total downloads. So that's kind of exciting.
I think we need a handful of claps.
Scattered applause.
Scattered.
No, we did enough. That's all we deserve. We don't deserve that.
Maybe we do. I feel deserving.
But if you are listening, let us know. I would be interested to know how you found out about the podcast, what you think about it, any feedback, any ideas of things we could talk about, segments we could do. If you're interested in being in the podcast, let us know, and we can bring you onto the podcast via Skype, have you call in, be part of a segment.
Or if you are interested in the dad from Talk to Dad podcast having a D&D character named after you, maybe.
Oh yeah.
There's plenty of characters. If you want, tweet at us,
or after your pet, perhaps,
With a hashtag TTD D&D.
TTDDD.
Yeah, and at either me or...
We need to figure this out. Are they spelling and?
No, just D-N. T-T-D-D-N-D.
Yeah, okay.
And...
N.
Letter N.
I think we should put that in
Dungeons and Dragons.
It should be TTD DAND.
Well, I have already tweeted at you.
Okay, well, I think
with that hashtag. And I think
you can't put an ampersand in a hashtag.
Yeah. TTD DND.
I think we should get that tweeted out tonight. Like,
well, I've already made a couple of tweets about it.
Yeah.
Dad hasn't responded to any
of
them.
No, I saw the podcast retweeted your drawings.
Oh, awesome. I didn't see that.
They did.
I did. I saw it.
Yeah, put out a little ad, like, if you want
character drawings
name,
there'll be more official art coming.
If you want to tweet at us, our Twitter account is at TTD Podcast. Everything else, we are Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And you can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, something you can do is you can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. We're also available on Google Play and on Stitcher. And last time I looked, no one had found our podcast on Stitcher. I don't know what that means.
I don't even know what Stitcher
set us up
is.
On Stitcher. It's kind of another platform where you can get
podcasts. It's actually a quilting networking website for quilters.
Yeah, it's mainly for quilters, and apparently quilters do not like this podcast.
I'll be needing stitches.
Anyway, so yeah, that's something you can do. You can give us a rating, give us a 5-star rating, give us a good review. That would be helpful, and more people might find the podcast, and that's always nice. But this has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.